from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is a disaster, Falsey. An absolute disaster. Everybody watched the game. Everybody saw what happened. Shelty claims this is more bad luck than bad baseball. I would beg to differ, as I did beg to differ on yesterday's show. Having said that, I couldn't be happier to be with my friend City Limits, Austin Bechtold, the living legend that he is. How are you, my friend? We got in a little tiff before the show, didn't we?
Joe, it's always an honor and a pleasure. I wouldn't even call it a tiff.
I would.
Would you?
Yes. And if you want to get another one now, we will. Yes. Yes, I called you a little late to ask for a clip for the show, but how was that different than any other day?
I don't know, 2 minutes before the show. And I guess what? I delivered. I have the clip.
You're unbelievable. I've discovered today, although I've been working here for nearly 15 years, that I only live 6 minutes from the show.
You did not know that.
It's unbelievable how fast I can make it here. I didn't even speed. At 9:32, I had to walk the dog, which I did, came downstairs into my man cave, decided to sing a couple songs that I've been practicing. Two of them I sang.
Oh, are they original songs?
No, we're not allowed to play. Am I allowed to say the names of the songs? No, I guess not. One
probably
was a Tom Petty song.
Okay.
Then I took a shower. Then I fed the dog before I left and gathered all my stuff. So that took, it was 9:52 when I left my house, and I was early, wasn't I?
You were here before 10, yes.
But I always call you on the way to work just for, you know, I don't want 17 different things. I just wanted a little clip, and you got very, very huffy today. It was alarming to me.
Huffy is a new adjective.
Yeah. What does huffy mean?
How would you use it in a sentence? Other than the one you just used.
Well, yeah, I thought it was obvious. You got a little upset? Huffy. What's the definition? Go to the poll thing while I look this up, will you? Huffy. Huffy, annoyed or irritated and quick to take offense at petty things. I couldn't have chosen a
petty
better
things.
Word in the history of the world.
Yeah, because I was, when you called and said that, when you called called back, I was on my way picking up the reeds, walking
right.
to get water.
Yeah,
and
all
then I
was said
like,
was,
oh no, because usually Callis blocks it out so that we get on the air like right at 10.
Yeah.
So that it would not give me enough time
well,
to be able to play it right off the top.
I know. And first I wanted to do a quiz show and invite Malzy on, and you seemed very against that at 1 o'clock, and then...
Well, I would love to have Malzy on for a quiz show, but the quiz show music is what is currently being protested.
Problem. So
it's
let's,
a problem.
Well, we don't need the music. Just, we'll do the quiz show.
We definitely should do a quiz show.
And then
Malzy
I remembered, hey, I need that Shelty clip from the show, our show, when Shelton, when he comes on our show. And I said, Limits, I called you back. And I said, could you get the Shelty clip where he talks about how he doesn't think his team is playing bad baseball, even though it's lost 9 games in a row and can't field a ball, catch a ball, or hit a ball, or pitch a ball. And then you got upset. And you said, I don't know if I can get that. And I said, what do you mean? It's our show. How
well,
can
no,
you not get that?
I know I can get it, but I meant in time.
Well, but how is this different than any other day? That's why you are who you are. That's why you have this job. You adjust at the last minute. You're unbelievably quick on your feet.
And I did.
I know you did.
I don't know. Sometimes there's a little quibble. We go back and forth. It's all in good fun.
Let's be honest here. It's not. It wasn't fun, but let's be honest.
It was.
Well, it was kind of fun. We're both using anger to cover up our sadness here about IT leaving. We both know that.
He only has one day left after today.
I know, and I'm broken up about this.
He's on his computer right now getting some stuff done. He's already back to school mode.
When I look to my left in there, I gain comfort from IT's mere presence. And he's been really good for us. He puts together the podcasts. He looks up stats. He's fun. He's entertaining. He's a good guy. And I'm sad. And I'm sorry if my anger covered up my sadness.
And I saw that he hit a hole in one a couple weeks ago.
You're supposed to say you're sorry, too.
Well, I'm very sorry, too. And I've already referenced that to Trent. I will miss him tremendously.
Is it irony if we get in a fight over saying we're sorry? Would that be ironic? No,
that would be ironic.
Yeah.
Well, because anger is also covering up our sadness. A lot of sadness right there, too, with what's going on a 9-game losing streak.
Meanwhile, the team is in flames, and Destiny's Child is out at Lake Taco. Lake Taco. I can't say Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe.
Can you believe that the Cowboys drafted Taco Charlton in front of T.J. Watt?
They
needed an outside linebacker.
I remember when
Have you ever been to Lake Taco?
No, I have not. Or Lake Tahoe.
It's unbelievable.
I remember when the draft rolled around, and there were a lot of people who were projecting Taco Charlton to be selected by the Steelers.
I know. Which he probably would have been if the Cowboys had taken T.J. Watt.
And he wasn't even that good at Michigan.
And then he wound up as a Steeler, which is also a case of irony. I don't know. Is that irony? I always have trouble with the definition of irony.
I don't think that's irony.
Let's talk to IT for a minute.
IT, how are you?
IT, what are you going to miss the most about this place?
Doing good today. How are you?
What are you going to miss?
I'm very well, and I appreciate your inquiry. What are you going to miss about us and this place?
I'm just being here every day.
Yeah?
I'm going to miss all your faces.
Especially City Limits. Huh? He's been nice to you, hasn't he? He can't hear me. All right. That didn't go well. Well, we're going to have a party for IT, are we not? We're going to take him out to a bar, get him drunk.
He did agree to what you said. Yeah. I just told him. Yeah, okay. I told him that we should
Is
take him out.
Is he old enough to drink?
Yeah, he's old enough, right?
All right.
What are you, 21? 22?
22.
22, yeah.
All right, yeah, we'll take him. 22 shots we'll have for IT on his final day, okay?
Paul will have half of them.
This is a disaster. What's happening with Aiyuk? The last thing I saw, there were reports that, yes, the deal's been in place. Everybody acting like this is somehow an updated report. But that he might be close. He's only a couple million apart with the 49ers. But forget about that. Let's start with a six-pack. Are we allowed to play the six-pack, the can opening, or is that now off-limits too? Limits. Ah, there we go. Let's start with some pirate topics, shall we? I like Derek Shelton. I like doing a show with him. But come on, man. When you say your team is not playing badly, and that's exactly what he said, and then they go out and put on a display like they did last night for their ninth loss in a row to drop them 7 games under 500 and 6 games, I think, out of the wild card, or 7, I can't remember which now, with 6 teams to catch and 11 games out of first. This is a disaster. So let's go back to yesterday and hear what Shelty actually said on one question and then a follow-up, because we definitely disagree on this. The losing streak has really put a damper on things, obviously. And now you guys have about, I think, 6 teams in front of you and a bunch of games. And it's sort of unbelievable that this has happened. Do you feel like there's almost a state of shock about the team?
I think there's a state of we need to catch a break. I mean, it's one of those situations where we haven't played bad baseball. You know, we've lost, I think, since the break, 9 one-run games. We've lost during this stretch of the 8. I think we've lost 6 one-run games. We're not finishing games or making the big play to be able to get us to a victory right now. And, yeah, it's extremely frustrating.
I think some people might quibble with that. I think as to whether you've been playing good or bad baseball, it's certainly been competitive. I don't think anybody would question your team's competitive spirit. But when you look at some of the games, whether it's pitches they would want back or the O'Neill Cruz game in Houston, I think there have been plenty of examples of bad baseball. Would you disagree with that?
I don't know. I mean, your definition of bad baseball may be different than my definition of bad baseball.
Well, it certainly is. And I would argue that pretty much anybody else on the planet who watches baseball or is in the game would disagree with Shelty on that. He's painting this, at least going into last night's game, as a case of bad luck rather than bad baseball. We need to catch a break. How about catch a ball, O'Neill Cruz, at second base? That's just a horror show every single night. He's a terrible shortstop. I'm sorry. He just is. How about catching a ball in the recent game against the Padres at home where three straight batted balls hit the ground? How about moving a runner? How about executing a sacrifice bunt, Kiner Falefa? How about running out a ground ball? Half the team last night, Bay, Tellez, were among those I counted who jogged out ground balls. So maybe I was wrong when I talked about their competitive spirit. How about Tellez turning a double into a single by not running and then not running to third when the guy after him hit a single? He stopped around second base. He eventually did run to third because you or I could have. How about swinging at balls 9 feet out of the strike zone, Brian De La Cruz? That dude couldn't hit some of the pitches he swings at, Folsy, with a telephone pole. It's unbelievable, even though your name isn't Folsy. How about allowing 2 unearned runs and striking out 15 times in 34 at-bats? How about giving up all these critical hits on 0-2 counts? How about failing to back up bases like Luis Ortiz in his previous start? By any reasonable definition, those are all examples of bad baseball. What are we talking about here? It's horrible baseball. It's embarrassing baseball. And that's how you get 9 losses in a row. Not bad luck. Not bad luck. It's the oldest saying in sports and maybe life too, but sports for sure anyway, is that you make your own luck. And that includes bad luck. And they've made their own by all the examples I just gave and more. And I don't know if you spotted it, but I sure did. Guys jogging to first base. When one of the few things that Shelty touts that makes sense is that they hustle. They play hard, as if that's not expected from professional baseball players making tons of money, even for the Pirates, even relatively speaking. I saw that last night. Now, they're just ground balls to second. Everybody does it around the major leagues. But if you're the Pirates, it's the very least you can do. And I see Reynolds sprinting out ground balls. I see McCutchen, when he's healthy and it's possible, sprinting out every ground ball. So why can't everybody else do it? Even if it's a routine play to second, why can't they? But please, I mean, don't tell me this team isn't playing bad baseball. They've been the worst team in the sport for a couple weeks.
You know, it feels to me like a lot of the guys have just checked out and they realize we're not as good as the Dodgers. We're not as good as San Diego. Even if we play to the way that we think we're capable of playing and the blueprint is out there, that offensively, as long as we score 4 runs, which was the blueprint for the first 3 months, we're going to be okay because the pitching will back us up. And it hasn't happened.
No, and the pitching hasn't backed them up out of the bullpen. It's been a disaster. And a real good example of flat-out bad baseball is throwing hittable pitches in critical situations on 0-2. And that starts when you're 6. You got an 0-2 count. You don't throw a hittable pitch. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That sounds delicious, and it makes me think of Ron, and now I'm sad again, so I'll probably get angry. What are you going to do with O'Neal Cruz? This has reached a state of, this is an emergency, actually. I enjoy watching O'Neal Cruz play. Sometimes even the bad plays are fun to watch. But you need a shortstop you can depend on defensively. I mean, again, starting when you're four, it's a critical defensive position, and he can't play it. He can't play it. He dropped an easy double play yesterday on a throw from his pitcher. As Greg Brown said during the game, and I'm paraphrasing Greg here, how do so many balls pop out of his glove? Is his glove too small? City limits? Why does that happen?
I don't get it. It has to be you're closing the glove too quickly?
I don't know what he's doing. And then there was a play later in the game where it was clearly Hayes' ball cutting across your gold glove third baseman. And instead, Cruz fields it in the hole and throws to first. And I didn't love Rowdy's stretch at first. Those two were something to behold last night together. And the guy's safe on a routine ground ball. What? And as Greg Brown said to that, along with Matt Capps, that's just a play that has to be made. It's a ground ball. It's a routine ground ball. Get an out. And how is that not an example of bad baseball? But the bigger question, what are you going to do with O'Neal Cruz? What would you do next season, or the rest of this season for that matter? Because as I wrote in the Post-Gazette today, because the season has fallen apart, it's audition time again for next year, which is an annual tradition around here. The audition tradition is beginning. It should begin now. I'm not convinced it will. That's another topic. We'll get to that in a moment. What about Cruz?
We all knew coming into the season that O'Neal Cruz was not a good defensive shortstop. Like, he has some range, but he just is not able to capably, on a consistent basis, make throws over to first base. And you're lying to yourself if you think otherwise. I mean, that's just how it is. The problem that I have with O'Neal Cruz is what other people around the team have been saying. People that cover the team, people that are in the know, broadcasters, whatever. That if O'Neal Cruz goes to a different position than shortstop, which is one of the most active positions on the field, that maybe he would be checked out. If you put him at DH, he would be checked out potentially of the game and not be as focused as he is right now. And I question how focused he is right now as it is.
Well, how about right field? How about first base?
I would say right field would be the best place to move him to maximize his athleticism. It would have to be right field. Third base.
I guess, and I hear people say you have to maximize his arm as well. I mean, if your arm is scattershot, then what good is it? There's a million pitchers littered across baseball history who had fabulous arms but couldn't pitch. So what good did it do them? If he can't use his arm to great effect to win baseball games, then you just have to move on. So I wouldn't mind first base, honestly.
I'd move him to right, but I would put Henry Davis at first base. And I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility.
Here's the problem with that is that, again, starting when we're 4 years old, you better have someone who can catch the ball at first base and make bad throws into outs. We take that for granted at Major League Baseball because these guys make it look incredibly easy,
right,
at first base. How many bad throws? Forget about Cruz's actual errors that allowed people on base. How many times has he been saved by first? I think Rowdy actually has some pretty soft hands
and
over
Carter
there.
And Carter Joe's done well defensively.
So the time that you notice when your first baseman is screwing up is when he doesn't, like the only time you notice a first baseman on those throws is when he screws them up. And Henry Davis, from what I saw, at least in the outfield, has stone hands. Now, he is, at catcher, he was better than I thought he'd be. So he must have a better pair of hands than I thought.
Well, he'd be able to pick the ball.
You think?
We've seen it at catcher. It's like he doesn't do it at an A-plus level.
Have we?
But that's why I think he'd be able to work at first better than O'Neal Cruz.
All right.
He has that experience picking the ball as a catcher. I mean, I know it doesn't translate. It's not a linear path, but it has to be.
I would worry about that. I would be, because the main problem with Cruz is he can't make the simple play. And I worry about that with him at first, too, and with Davis at first. This is a disaster. Go to the next thing. All right. I did write in the Post-Gazette today. Under the headline, Pirates farm system sags as the season falls apart, but the next round of auditions must begin. So, there's a lot here, City Limits, and I want you to pull up a chair and listen to old granddad as he explains what's happening. Come on, IT, you too.
IT,
we can roast some
ready.
Marshmallows while we're doing this.
And some hot dogs, some s'mores.
Sure. How do you like your hot dogs? I like mine burnt and split.
I like them a little bit burnt, but not too crispy.
Condiments on there?
No, just plain.
Plain hot dogs.
Yeah.
IT, how do you like those hot dogs? How does he like them? Can he not hear me in there? Limits?
Ketchup and mustard on them.
That makes sense, I think. I like a little relish as well. Sometimes onions. There's not many venues in which I'll eat onions, but on a burnt split hot dog, I will. I can be convinced of that. Limits.
Yeah, I like it plain. I like the plain hot dog. I don't know why. Just the way I've always eaten them.
Why did your dad answer your phone last night when I called your house?
Because
does he do that often?
No, I was upstairs, and my phone was downstairs right by him because we were watching TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He just decided to pick it up. He probably thought it was...
Don't get me wrong. It was wonderful to talk to your dad. He's a great man. You have a wonderful family. But it was just, it caught me off guard that he would pick up your phone and say hello.
Where we were sitting, my phone was right by his phone. So he probably picked it up and thought it was his phone that was ringing.
What if you're getting a call from an unsavory character?
Well, then I would not have their number saved, probably. And he would not answer it.
I like that idea. Where was I? Oh. Rosters don't expand like they used to, not even close in September. It used to be, I think, up to 40. Now you get to add a couple of guys. They also have a bunch of short-term veterans on their team, and you always hear teams talk about, we need to treat people the right way so other teams, other players around the league know that we're that kind of organization. Forget that. Okay? They owe these guys nothing. They owe their one-year veterans nothing. They owe Michael A. Taylor, Connor Joe, Telez, Grandal, etc. nothing. What they do owe themselves is an evaluation period with younger players. Henry Davis needs to be back here. The great Nick York needs to be called up. Billy Cook, no relation to Ron. Can we hear Ron's laugh as we go along here? He needs to be promoted from AAA. What about Peguero? Where has he been all year? He needs to be up here. Andy Rodriguez at some point. Well, you can't play everybody. Yes, you can. At least part of the time. And Henry Davis would be Exhibit A. He needs to be back up here. And I don't really care what that means for the veterans. They got their money. They don't need to play. The season's done. Okay? The season's over. So it's pretty much audition time, City Limits. And here's the really disturbing news. I don't know if you saw this. An alert tweeter sent me this yesterday. Baseball America 5 days ago came out with its farm system rankings. Did you see this?
I did.
The Pirates ranked 27th. 27th. All they've done, and I understand there's been a couple of graduations here. Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, two examples of guys in the majors. There's also been guys repeating grades. Hello, Henry Davis. So don't tell me this is all about, oh, well, all their prospects are here. No, they're not. They don't have enough of them, at least not enough that are impressing enough people. 27th? 27th. That's amazing. And might that problem, the lack of big-time prospects, be the issue when they're unwilling to part with even one of them to make their team better? We don't have enough of them. How is that possible? In every single trade that they've made, just about in the Cherington era, it's about, yeah, let's get prospects back, these high-ceiling guys. Let's take chances on them. They've had these highly touted drafts where they draft bunches of players. You know, even the Henry Davis draft and the one with Lonnie White and all those guys. Where is everybody? Where is everybody? More importantly, why aren't more hitters on the way? What about this training complex in the Dominican Republic that we've been hearing about since practically the Dave Littlefield era? And on the team website, it says that this training complex, quote, demonstrates the organization's commitment to providing the tools necessary to build and sustain a championship caliber organization. Cue Ron Cook laughing. How many high impact major leaguers has the Dominican Academy produced? I'll give you one guess.
Three?
None. That's how many? None. All this team has done for 5 years is hoard prospects, and there's more coming every day. They just had three picks in the top 47 in the Major League draft. They're trending. They're going to have a realistic chance at the number one pick next year. You finish in the bottom five or six, you have like a 6-8% chance or something, better than the Penguins had with Sidney Crosby. And even if you don't win the draft lottery, you're again going to have a bunch of picks early in every round. Where are they all? How can you have the 27th ranked system? Having said that, it's just about time for auditions. And I frankly don't care what that means for the short-term veterans around here. You?
No, I don't really care either. Like Yasmani Grandal, Rowdy, Michael A. Taylor, those type of guys. Just Jared Triolo, I know he's not an old veteran, but we got to see fresher faces. Is anybody, because even if you bring up six of them and two hit or one hits, at least you have the opportunity to showcase what they can do, albeit in September, really, at this point, in the latter portion of August. But you got to see it. You got to give them the opportunity because the other guys are not going to be here next year, and there's no point in keeping them around. If you have to DFA them, do it. Whatever. The season's over. It doesn't matter. I mean, at this point, at least when you get to September, it's not going to be necessarily about wins and losses. It always is about wins and losses, but it's going to be more so about can these guys contribute to the 2025 team more than anything, because they can't contribute to the ultimate goal of the 2024 team, so it doesn't matter that Michael A. Taylor, Grandal, and those guys are still here.
Okay, next. We'll get back to Pirates, by the way, and if you want to weigh in, we have plenty of time to do that. Paul Zeiss is in Indianapolis today. I believe this is a vacation day for him. Wonderful man. Not every person can claim to having a pause named after them. So he was wondering the other day why I claimed a Paul pause, because it was me delaying the show. And as I pointed out to him, listen, the pause is named after you, but that it's like the Mackey planner. That doesn't mean the rest of us can't fall under that umbrella, correct? Even you have had a Paul pause or two, right?
I've had a few.
All right, give me the next part of our six pack. Well, by the way, the six pack is brought to you by Bet365, and the rundown of our show off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We've got the general, we've got the big boy Mark Cabali, we have Dan Zangrilli, we have a guy whose name I forgot talking college football. We haven't gotten into that yet. But right now, we have the Brandon Ayuk situation. Reports all over the place. Nothing's changed in one respect. There's a deal in place for the Steelers with one very small, tiny little issue. The Niners don't want to make that deal. Just a little issue there. Now you see people saying, let me get this straight here. You have people saying he's only a couple million dollars apart in San Francisco. And I also saw a reporter who I believe works for Steelers Depot part of the time. She's very good. I can't remember her name. I want to give her credit right now. I need a Paul pause, please. Stop. No more Paul pauses. I can't remember. I can't remember. What? I need to find her name to give her credit. I don't know. Can we do back-to-back Paul pauses? I don't know. Perfect. Ayuk. Perfectly. Here she is. I found it. I think she's really good. Melanie Friedlander, I believe, is her name. Well, it is her name, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. She says here in a tweet, personally, I think Brandon Ayuk has played this perfectly. He used the Browns. That Cook laugh is unbelievable. He used the Browns and it's like it's a floating Ron Cook head in the air in a horror movie laughing, right?
There was a show that was on Nickelodeon in the 90s called Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
And the third episode was the tale of the laughing in the dark. And every time I hear Ron Cook's laugh, I think of the clown laughing in the dark.
It's frightening, but it also brings back wonderful memories of a man who, well, I didn't like and he didn't like me. But in the end, we were friends. How is that possible?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend?
I guess, but who was our common enemy?
I don't know. The radio?
Maybe. No, people always ask me about Ron. Of course I like him.
I liked him too.
Yeah, even though I didn't really, and he didn't really like me. But
you respected him, and he respected you.
No, we liked each other. Can you like somebody that you're not, or not like somebody you're friends with?
Yeah, I think so.
It seems weird, but...
It is weird, but I mean...
Whatever. Melanie Friedlander. Personally, I think Brandon Ayuk has played this perfectly. He used the Browns and Patriots to confirm his market value, and he found a viable new home in Pittsburgh whose offer isn't quite good enough for the 49ers. Now he just sits and waits until the Niners give him what he wants or trade him to the Steelers. Masterclass in players using what leverage they have. That's brilliantly written, and I commend Melanie for that. Do you agree with that? Brandon Ayuk is the winner here no matter what.
Well, yeah, because either he gets to play for the Steelers where he wants to go and make the most money he wants to make, or he gets the leverage that he wanted on San Francisco to get them to up the offer because another team is wanting to pay him.
Yes, you're saying everything she said except she said it better.
Yes.
Right.
It's 100% right.
Yes.
Ayuk is the ultimate winner. Ayuk cannot lose in this situation. He's going to get paid no matter what. The only thing is he would have to move, and he likes Mike Tomlin, so how much of a downgrade is that?
A downgrade to come here, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you're coming from a team that was just in the Super Bowl.
He's not coming here, I don't think.
Ayuk.
I've changed. Well, yeah, who else am I talking about? What?
You don't think he's coming in a trade?
No, I don't. IT just flashed me a dirty look. Did you see that?
See, I think IT
He doesn't like me snapping back at you there.
No, he thinks that it's going to happen too. I believe.
I think, based on some of the reports I saw last night, it seems like it's turned back to San Fran.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50. I still would say the Steelers are in the driver's seat, but San Francisco does not have to deal.
No, they're not in the driver's seat. How are they in the driver's seat? San Francisco is. If they meet the offer for Ayuk, they get him.
I think a lot of what's being put out there by San Francisco is a lot of just PR stuff, and I think some of it might just be leaking information to try to get the Steelers up an offer. I don't believe that San Francisco is as close to a deal with Ayuk as is being let out to believe.
One more, please. Thank you, City Limits. That one was in the lettuce drawer, the one you always save for the end of the night, right?
The special treat.
The special
at the very
treat.
End. They were make sure
I told
you put it aside.
I told you. There were times at Buffalo, circa 1988, where it would be 3 a.m. and we would just be getting revved up. Depressed that the beer was gone. And the old Starkmeister had a little 6-pack. Okay, maybe a 12-pack hidden in the refrigerator. Sometimes various little bottles and cans hidden together down in the lettuce drawer so nobody could get it. These were the executive beers for later in the night. And when I unveiled those, when I opened the lettuce drawers, the salad drawers, whatever you'd like to call them, there was a celebration like Chris Kunitz had just beaten the Senators in double overtime.
You have a hidden cabinet in the closet. You just bring it out from behind some shirts and the dressers.
Oh, it was amazing. And I would play it up. You know, I would play it up like, you know, oh, this sucks. No more beer. There's nowhere to get it. Oh, wait a second. I might have one or two. Yeah, I was an MVP when the hours got late. Ja'Marr Chase, for the first time, I believe, missing from Bengals camp. I said the other day that based on the Joe Burrow highlights I saw, that if he's back, they're the favorite. They've shored up some issues they had, but man, a new one would crop up if Ja'Marr Chase ain't there. How does that play out? I think he gets his money. He gets his money. T. Higgins doesn't, right?
I think so. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is a top five wide receiver. You can't let that type of guy go, especially pairing him with Joe Burrow, the chemistry that they have. You can replace a T. Higgins. You cannot replace a Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I agree. He has to be there. All right, thank you, Limits. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
I think everybody had a good time. Our Pirates and Steeler camp reaction brought to you by Bet365. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing HVAC service for over 50 years. How about your calls on the Pirates right now? Derek Shelton believes it's more bad luck than bad baseball. Do you agree with that? What would you do with O'Neill Cruz? What do you do with him for next season? Do you agree with me that it's audition time? And whatever they have to do with these one-year contract guys who have failed, oh well. All of this on the table at 412-928-9370. I guess the question to ask with the Steelers, if they don't get Ayuk, did Omar Khan fail miserably on his offseason gambit with the wide receivers? I still maintain that if he had kept Diontae Johnson, that Diontae would be the guy who would have clinched a deal to San Francisco. I know Omar gets a lot of love, but if they don't get Ayuk, has he completely mangled their wide receiver situation?
I 100% agree with the Diontae Johnson point. I also think in the same token, they wanted that guy gone no matter what, out of the building and away from George Pickens and out of the locker room.
It's by the same token, not in the same token.
Thank you for clarifying my token.
You're welcome.
How many tokens do you take to the arcade or do you purchase at the arcade?
It's funny you should ask. I keep a little bowl of them for some golf places I go to, and I get free golf balls that way. Well, I paid for them technically, but they feel free. Are you a guy who doesn't use gift cards? Neither do I.
I occasionally use gift cards. It might take a while for me to use them.
I have a Wendy's gift card I need to use. Zeiss drove me home the other day. The front seat of his car looked like a scene from Hoarders. You know that show?
I do, yes.
It was unbelievable. I think there were living animals in there. But he cleared everything away. And then on the very bottom, there were gift cards for Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, and something else. He's like, oh, you want these things? I don't use them.
He gave them to your daughter.
I said, yeah, I'll take them. So now I have like $45 in gift certificates or gift cards, but I haven't used them yet. Why don't I use them? It's not that I don't think of it. I thought of the Starbucks one the other day, and then, I just don't. Why don't I use it?
They give us a Starbucks gift card for our birthdays every year here. I've used, like, half of it.
Is it embarrassing, or do we feel less than going to the counter with a gift card? What is the psychology not using it? I don't understand.
For whatever reason, sometimes we want to go somewhere else, and we're like, well, I have this Arby's gift card. I still have an Arby's gift card.
It's not as exciting. And it doesn't feel like the treat that it should feel like when it's a gift card. And I don't know why.
It feels free. It should be exciting to use. I mean, I do like using gift cards, but I still have like Texas Roadhouse gift cards from like a year and a half ago that I have still not used.
I've showed up with gift cards at places that were like 11 years old and they still work. They still take them. I think legally they have to.
They do.
I don't know, but they did. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Starkey's Card of the Week next, and hopefully your reaction to all the disasters that are happening. Here's something that's not a disaster. JP Roofing & Siding. It's the very opposite of that. What a man he is. What a legend. What an icon. He wins more awards than Aaron Donald did at Pitt. JP texted me recently to tell me about his latest award, and it was... Let me make sure I get this right without using a pulp. You know, here's the thing, Limits. I just thought of something. We should each get 2 Paul pauses per show that we can use like timeouts.
Like your challenges?
Yeah. I've already used my 2, but we haven't started the policy yet.
So what happens if you go past that? Like mound visits remaining?
That's what we have to decide here.
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.